Well, as I indicated, I wish to speak this morning on Haggai chapter 1, and from verse 5 to verse 11. Last time, Fred, when I finished, said I thought you might be saying something about the purse with holes in it. Well, I'll try and say something about the purse with holes in it this morning. He was jumping ahead a little. Haggai chapter 1 and verse 5. Now, I'm going to change what I intended to do this morning. This passage, of course, let me explain. This passage is primarily a word for those who are true believers. Why do I say that? Because this man, Haggai, was raised up in the Old Testament to speak to the Jews, that is, the people of God, about a certain issue. I've explained this. I did this when I preached on the first few verses. But just to say here, he was a man raised up to address the Jewish people, the people of God, about an issue that God had with them. So whatever application I make of this passage, I must first, mustn't I, make it to the professing people of God today. That must be the first lesson. And that was going to be what I was going to do this morning. But for various reasons, I feel I want to change that. Because another thing I was going to do was to say this, that whether a passage in Scripture is directly written for God's people, as nearly all of them are, by the way, this is a book written really for God's people. Nevertheless, every passage, in my opinion, has an application to all men, whether they be believers or not. So what I was going to do this morning was, if you like, major on the point that I really ought to major on, namely, what does this say to me as a believer? If you are a true believer, when I say a believer, I don't mean somebody who acknowledges God. I mean somebody who is really trusting Christ, knows a living experience, has a living experience of having turned in a consciousness of sin and cried out, God, have mercy upon me. And Christ has washed us in our precious blood. That's what I mean by a believer. So, my task this morning, I felt, was to come and speak to us, first to us as believers, to me, to you, to this church. And I believe what this passage says is highly relevant to the believers today. I think it is a rebuking passage. And my own conviction is, I've explained to you when I started Haggai, my own conviction is that the churches of Christ need to be rebuked today. Christians need to be brought to a place different to where we are. And that was going to be my main theme this morning, because that's the theme here. But I was also going to go on and say, but these words also apply to you, my friend, if you are not a believer in the sense I've said. Now, for various reasons, what I'm going to do is pass over the first point, which I should not do. And it may well be, I may come back to it next time, so you never know. But I'm going to take these words this morning and make that second or secondary application. These words apply to us all, whether we are believers or not. God is speaking to us this morning, my friend. Now, I believe that. I don't know whether you do. But we've opened this book and God speaks to us. You say, where is he? Well, he's here. I can't see him. No, you can't see him. I know you can't. But he's here. You may not see him, but he certainly sees you. He sees me. And he says something to me. Now, Haggai was raised up by God, as I say, because of this particular issue in Judah at this time. The Jews have come back from their captivity. Their temple is in ruins. They must build the temple again. They're going to build the temple again. They want to build the temple again. They know they've got to build the temple again, but not now. That's the point. Verse 2, the time has not yet come, they say. Always good, but not yet. We're going to do it, but not now. It's not convenient. Now, when I preached this before, last time I was here, I preached on those verses. Remember, I gave you the example of the man who said to Paul, "I'll call for you when it's more convenient. I'll hear you again. What you're saying is good, but not now." And Haggai is raised up to say to these Jews, not now, is always now. It's time now. Now, you have got time, says Haggai, to look after your own affairs. He spells it out in these verses. Verse 4. You're building your houses. You're looking after your concerns. But you say it's not time for mine. No, says God. It won't wash. And the prophet Haggai is raised up to rebuke the people and encourage the people. And as I hinted last time when I was here, he had tremendous success in it. I wish I could say the same. And I believe that message, and I use the word deliberately, that word from God is necessary for us as believers today and in the churches. But there's an application here for unbelievers, for all of us. Now let me get on with it. God, through Haggai, says to these people, you have put yourself first. You've thought about yourself and your houses and your ways. But you haven't bothered with me. I get the short end of the stick. I get the leftovers. And God says to these people, I demand, he says. I want, I demand. Not to come second in your life, but first. This is a mighty subject. How does God open the Ten Commandments? What is the sum of the Ten Commandments? At least the first table of the Ten Commandments. Is it not that God must be loved with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind, and with all our will? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Is that not the sum of the Ten Commandments? Is that not the opening of it? Is that not the burden of the message of the Ten Commandments? Ah, well, of course, I haven't got any gods. My friends, there's lots more gods than totem poles and stone idols. The greatest God I have of all is called self. What I want, what I think. Ask any man in the street. Talk to him about God and his word, and it won't be long before he's saying, well, I think, I like to think, I. What does God say? I think this. I think that. Has anybody here said that? I dare say there is. I suppose we all have. I like to think of it like this. My friend, religion is not how I like to think of it. It's what God has said about it. And God comes out through this man. And he speaks to them. And he challenges them. And then he points this out to them. And this is where I shall be this morning. We won't be very long upon it, but I want to speak it to you. Verse 5 and on. Give careful thought to your ways. And that's the word I'm going to start with this morning, my friend. I'm going to say to all of us, believer and unbeliever, give careful thought to your ways. Now, we've just thought about wars. And we've thought about losses in war. And I know some of you have been through some very... Well, I haven't been through those experiences, so I'm sorry I can't enter into it with you, but I'll try. But you have had these experiences, and you've looked back, you've thought about it, and so on. Have you thought about your soul, my friend? Have you thought about the future? Have you thought about eternity? Is the prophet Haggai saying anything to us this morning? Is he saying anything to this nation? Give careful thought to your ways. Think about it. Look at what's happening to you. I would say to this nation, think about what's happening in England. I would say to the world, if I could, think about what is happening. Give careful thought to it. Don't just go drifting on through life. Most people seem to walk blindfold through life. Sleepwalk. Give careful thought, says the prophet. Well, God actually says it. It's the Lord Almighty speaking. I must think about my ways. You've just sung it, my friend. I can only remember it in the old version. Time, like an ever-rolling tide, bears all its sons away. You sang that just now, didn't you? Did you mean it? Did you think about it? What does it mean? I'm going to die? Fred's announced I'm preaching here next week. Are you sure? Well, it's in the diary. I dare say it is. Are you sure? I'm not sure. Don't misunderstand me. I've got it in my diary. I intend to be here this time, 7 days, 168 hours from now. I intend to be in the same position, of course. But can I guarantee it? Give careful thought. Think about it. Okay, I'll be here. Will you? Give careful thought. What have you got for lunch? Be careful thought. You may not get home. Oh, melodramatic. No, my friend, I can produce people that can tell you by experience it happens like that. What was the text on the board outside? Come on, then do it. Those who put it up, don't tell me. But anybody else, I saw it. What's the text on the board outside? Please? Faith thy God. Amos is saying the same, isn't he? Give careful thought. I thought it was a bit stark when I came in. It's very few words, but my word. Isn't it a word for the nation? Isn't it a word for me? Isn't it a word for you? Have you prepared to meet your God yet? Well, I don't know how to do it. Then listen, my friend, listen. Oh, walk with Jesus. That's the best preparation. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not worn. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. Surely these are illustrations. Surely this is figurative. I'm quite prepared to say that when Haggai preached it, it was, you might say, almost literally true. We are dealing with the Old Covenant there, and God often visited people in the Old Covenant in a physical way. What do I mean? By wars, by harvests failing, by storms, and all the rest of it. Now, personally, I would do what the apostles do and take these verses like this and show the spiritual meaning in the New Testament. I will make this a spiritual thing. I won't altogether rub out the possibility of physical things. Am I talking riddles to you? Well, let me be blunt. Take this nation. Have we not come? Have take the world. I understand in Ireland. I heard a man on the wireless this week telling me, the politician in Ireland, he's telling me how wonderful everything was. He was telling the man. And I couldn't believe my ears. The first item on the news that Ireland has gone bankrupt. And yet this politician says, we're in wonderful shape. The next day I hear that they're asking for a loan. I ask you this question, my friend. I understand the European common market has set up a loan to bail out these nations, Greece and Spain and Portugal and Ireland. What happens when everybody asks for it? Who's going to pay then? My friend, the world's in a state. Financial, I'm talking at the moment. In a financial state, isn't it? Our Prime Minister has gone to China to ask him to slow down because they're sucking the money out of us. The world's collapsing financially, my friend. I believe God, through his preachers today, should be calling the people, think! There's a reason for it, my friend. Oh, the greed of the bank. Right, okay. The greed of the bankers. What makes a man greedy? Well, I'll cut the story short. Jesus tells me, out of the heart, he says, comes all these things. It's the heart of man, my friend. It's the heart of man. Consider your ways. I would say to this nation, I would say to people individually, I say it to you, my friend, consider your ways. Look at what is happening. Now, what is the picture here? Here is a picture of a people laboring like bees in a hive. Everything's active, isn't it? Now, my first application here would have been in the church. You understand that? I moved on to my second application. I'm doing something I shouldn't do. I should really be primarily dealing with the church. And that is the fundamental point here. But for these reasons, I feel I should move on to this second application. Everything is active, moving. People are busy. What are they doing? They're planting this. They're eating that. They're drinking this. They're buying this suit of clothes and putting on. But what does Haggai say to them? You never eat and are satisfied. You put your clothes on, but you're never warm. And what you get in money, you put it in a purse, but it drops out of the bottom through the holes. Now, what is the picture, my friend? It might be literally true in Haggai's day. But what would you say? What should I say as a preacher this morning to those of us here this morning, and especially those of you who have no living faith in Christ? I'll make this point, my friend. You're spending your days, aren't you? And your energy and your power and your life.
Yes.
But where is it all leading, my friend? Does it satisfy? Now be honest. You don't have to kid me. You don't have to speak to me. Answer for yourself. Does it satisfy? And I'll tell you now, I know it by experience and I know it by scripture. It doesn't satisfy. You want me to prove it? There's a hymn we sing, now none but Christ can satisfy. That's what we sing. I believe it with all my heart. Do you? A lot of men in the world don't believe it. Right, let's try some illustrations. Is it not true that when you buy your latest computer and it's got all you want, what happens the next day? A little fly comes in the ointment, doesn't it? What? You see on the internet that Microsoft have brought out an upgrade on yours. Your new telephone that does everything. It makes the tea. It tells you when to get up, how to do this and how to do the other. Yeah. But tomorrow there's another one coming out that's just got that little bit extra. You're going on holiday soon, aren't you? You've got all the brochures, haven't you? This room is a marvellous room. The view is lovely. The climate's perfect. The food in this hotel is marvellous, isn't it? Have you ever been on holiday, my friend, and been disappointed? They didn't tell you about the building works next door, did they? Or the fact that the lift doesn't work? Or there's a lot of dust everywhere? Or whatever it might be, my friend. Have you not found that the greatest thing you've ever wanted, the thing you've longed for, when you get it, it seems to vanish in your hands? No? Well, you're unusual. Why did I read Isaiah 55? Why do you spend your money on that which will not satisfy? You get the latest camera. You get the latest car. You know, it's marvellous, isn't it? But after about a week, there's a little rattle. I can hear a rattle. I can. And it disturbs you, doesn't it? The tyre noise is worse on this car. Oh, dear, the tyre noise. I had a fella come to my door the other day trying to sell me gas or something. I don't know what it was. And he said, oh, so you got a Honda? He said, oh, I got one. They've got the same model, he said. I've tried all the tyres, he said. It makes a lot of noise, doesn't it? Well, I don't know what he spent, £20,000. I don't know what he bought on his car. But it's a bit trouble because the tyres make a bit of noise, you see. Well, I'm the same, don't worry. I'm not laughing at him. I'm just telling you what's wrong with us. That's my experience, my friend. I go to Asda to pick up a bit of milk early in the morning so that I get there before everybody else gets there. But I had a bit of a shock on Thursday, I think it was. Not shocked, but it was a bit surprising. I was coming up and the place was crowded outside. It was a queue for milk. So I said to a chap getting out of his car, I said, what's all this then? What do I know? He said, there's a new game out today, he said. A new game. I don't know what it was, but it was a new game. And they all wanted it. I don't blame them, but you see, the last game isn't enough now, is it? Yesterday's game was brilliant, but no, it's got to be tomorrow's game. I tell you what, those people who bought it, some of them are sick and fed up with it already. I asked the man, I said, what's it like? He said, I don't know till this afternoon. See, he's buying it, but I wonder if he says, oh no, it's as good as George's or whatever it might be. I don't know, my friend. That's experience. Let me tell you from the Bible. How about the book of Ecclesiastes? You read that lately? Try reading the book of Ecclesiastes. If you want something better than the newspapers, read the book of Ecclesiastes. It's talking about you, my friend. And it's telling you this, whatever you try, Solomon is the writer. And Solomon tells us, I tried it all. What did you try, Solomon? Well, he said, take wisdom. Learning. I tried that. Some people think if they go to university and get the books and read and read and learn and understand, that'll satisfy them. Solomon said, I tried it. And it was all vanity. So he said, I tried the opposite. I went stupid, he said. I tried folly. He said, I found that vanity. Ah, says somebody, this is what they really said. You talk about gods. I'll tell you the biggest god today. He's called sex. Do you know, I listen to the radio and I don't think some people can't think of anything else from morning they get up in the morning, whatever. They're always thinking about it. They're always talking about, my wireless. I don't know whether my wireless is unique. But every program I listen to, nearly, the news and all, is full of it. Well, he must be a great god then. Well, my friend, you'll have to keep up with Solomon, if you will. 700 wives and a load of others, I don't know what, countless. He had his fill of it, my friend. Perhaps you don't like preachers talking like this. He had it all. And he still said it's vanity. And is he not right? I tried money, he said. I tried gardening. Now, I've done a fair bit of gardening in my town. I was a very big gardener, I was. And I've had to explain to people that gardening isn't what it looks. If you do your gardening by watching the telly, you're mad. The gardening on television is nothing like real gardening. The gardening that real is real is like Genesis 3. In the sweat of your brow. Pest and blight and disease. If you try growing parsnips on sandy soil, I have. Do you know what canker is on parsnip? No, you don't want to know either. Do you know what potato blight is like? Do you want to know what club root is like on sprouts? Oh, you don't want to know if you're a gardener. It's heartbreaking, my friend. Solomon said, I tried it all. I planted gardens, palaces, add the lot. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. I'm not making it up. It's all vanity, he said. And I tell you this, my friend, to cut it short. Leaping into the New Testament. Anything and everything but Jesus Christ is vanity. If you do not know Christ, my friend, you may be a millionaire for all I know and for all I care. You may have the latest model of this or that or the other. But like Haggai says to the people, God through him, it won't satisfy. You see, my friend, because time, like an ever-rolling tide, does bear all his sons away. And I picture myself now, if there will be such a time when I will be awake, but on my dying bed. Bring in my latest Microsoft. That's what I want to see. Really? Bring in my latest mobile phone. It's got all the gizmos. Bring in my latest bank balance. Bring in all my medals that I won at the Olympics. Bring in my bodybuilding stuff. I'm dying, my friend. I want to know that there is someone who loves me enough who will never leave me nor forsake me. I want to know that there is someone who's taken away my sin and makes me right with God. And blessed be his name in the Bible. I find it over and over again. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Haggai is calling to these people. God is calling these people. Give careful thought to your ways. Come back to me. In the New Testament, surely it's plain enough. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because you see, my friend, if you turn away from Christ, you have another master. There is another master who's pulling the strings. And his yoke is hard and his burden is heavy. His name is Satan. Oh, I laugh. Oh, no. He came into the world through the Lord Jesus Christ to destroy the works of the devil. But many today in our land, maybe some in this room, would rather spend their days living in the things of this life which will never satisfy, not realizing they're being pulled by the strings of the master arch Satan himself. But there are some foolish people, the world would say, ignorant people, the world would say, who have felt that they are sinners and have cried out to Christ, Lord, save me. And they will sing with all their hearts, now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. I do hope it's true, you know, when the Queen Mother, I understand, late Queen Mother, was in Africa when she was a young lady. I suppose she was on a tour with her husband, I don't know. An African king came up to her, a Christian man, a believer. He said, Mom, he said, what do you think of Jesus Christ? I hope it's true. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold, or be the king of a vast domain. I hope it's true. Because if it's true, it is the truth. Because once I've got Christ, the purse has no more holes in it. I've been in bed in the winter of you when the weather's changed and the duvet is not quite warm enough. It's pretty horrible, isn't it? Yes. You can't wait to get another blanket on or something, whatever it might be these days. But when you come to Christ, my friend, young man, older person, whoever you are, come to Christ. There is none that's ever come to Christ and found that he's gone away empty. Go to the bank if you will. Go to the Olympics next year if you will, or 2 years' time if you will. Try this and try that if you will, my friend, but it will not satisfy. But once you cast yourself upon Christ, you will find he is all and more than he has promised. Well, I know that's an accommodation to this scripture, and some of you, I hope, may have to forgive me. I hope you will. But I thought I ought to speak up on that this morning. Oh, my friend, don't go away looking at the world. It will not satisfy. What can I say more? Unto you who believe, Jesus is precious. Try him, my friend. Try him and see. Take him at his word. Trust him. And I guarantee you will find he is all and more than ever he said he would be. I don't know if we could change our hymn, Andrew, and sing that one we sang earlier on.